Episode number 139, The Sky Is Still Not Falling.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
That's right, we're back at you for episode number 139 of the Camaro Z28.com podcast.
All right.
I'm still Chris.
And I'm still Jason.
And we're still here.
Yeah, week after week.
Yep.
You can always count on us. For what, I don't know, but...
We always think of something to come up with.
Well, we have to, otherwise it'd be a damn boring show.
Yeah. Well, so you got a copy of the paper over there.
I do. I actually, this is from, let me unfold it here, because I got it folded up all business style. From last Sunday's... April 27th issue of the Detroit Free Press. I read this just after we recorded podcast number 138.
Okay.
Mark Phelan, which we've mentioned a lot.
Oh, yeah. Automotive writer for the Detroit Free Press.
Predicts the future of muscle cars, page 2F.
Okay.
So, as I... I'm not going to read the whole article because that'd take, you know, the whole episode. But, God, man, this is a big newspaper. Damn it. Hold on. Because I want to get to the goods here easily.
Yeah.
He talks about, you know, efficiency and the government proposals and everything like that. But it does mention that GM already has a 260 horsepower 2-liter direct injection turbo engine in the HHRSS compact wagon.
Yeah.
Power wagon, baby. Well, I guess that would be a Dodge, wouldn't it? The Pontiac Solstice GXP and Saturn Sky Redline Roadsters as well. You know. Yeah. Mentioning the what's already out there.
Cobalt SS.
Not bad. I think, I don't know if he does mention it or not. They mention other vehicles. Well, if you, nobody minds me mentioning. They mention the Audi TTS. It's got a 272 horsepower 2.0 four-cylinder with direct injection and turbocharging. As much as an LT1 Camaro.
Yeah, yeah.
At about one-third the size and probably as good as, if not better, gas mileage.
Yeah.
So, the best part about it is... Near the end, and it is quoted, "We're not trying to get out of the performance business," Chevrolet boss Ed Pieper told me. "We're going to continue to improve the fuel efficiency of every model we build. People are still interested in performance, and we're going to offer it."
Yep.
Right there.
I think we touched on that quite a bit over the last month and a half, is, you know, people are saying... The sky is falling, and GM's getting out of the performance business. We said that technology
marches on.
We're going to be able to, you know, squeeze out every little piece of horsepower and still get the gas mileage.
In fact, I read that four times. People are still interested in performance, and we're going to offer it. It's not going to be big block, freaking, you know,
454s,
454 huge cams, and
8 miles to the gallon,
dugga 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 when it drives by and everything. But hey, you want performance? It's a new world, and technology is going to move with it.
Yeah,
I think it'll be okay. I don't think it'll be rattle box, like the 2-liter four cylinders all the way around. I mean, there's going to be a higher level of even that kind of performance.
Right. And that can lead into our next segment of the show.
That's right.
Where our good friend Scott Settlemyer talks about what GM is doing with hybrids, fuel cells.
Yeah, I got a video clip that. He's got out there, and Chris, you'll put this in the show notes, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm going to play the audio portion of it just to kind of whet everybody's appetite on it. Here we go.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody in America could drive a small four-cylinder subcompact car? The realities of the marketplace is that you can't expect a workman, for instance, to take his sheets of plywood and everything and stick it on the top of the car. So Chevrolet, being America's brand, one of our full-line, obviously, manufacturer, we've got to come up with a whole... host of solutions for our energy issues in this country. And behind me you'll see gas friendly to gas free. Right now we have fuel efficiency, ethanol, hybrids, electrics, and fuel cells. Fuel efficiency. If you look at all our full-size sport utility vehicles and our trucks and some of our full-size passenger cars, we have what we call active fuel management. Let's say you're driving down 35 here in Dallas at 40 miles an hour. You're probably in four-cylinder mode, which saves us fuel economy. But as soon as you touch the gas, you're back at eight cylinders. So it gives you, if you need, the additional power or you need something that carries a lot of people. We're putting that in the cars today. E85 ethanol. We believe that within a year, with a company we're working with, that we're going to be able to produce ethanol in things other than just corn, such as industrial wastes and municipal wastes and byproducts. E85 is the easiest way for this country to change its dependence on foreign oil because it's a renewable resource and we're a leader in it. We have 2.5 million Chevrolets on the ground today that run on E85. And of course, with E85, you don't have to do anything. You either put E85 in it, which is 85% ethanol, or you can put regular unleaded gas on it. The third one is hybrids, and we're a leader in hybrids just as well because we're the first manufacturer to offer what we call a two-mode hybrid. Now, if you walk over here, we have the Chevy Tahoe, which is the green car of the year, by the way, by Green Car Journal. We're very, very proud of that. And in fact, Texas Auto Writers Association calls it the best full-size sport utility vehicle. Remember we talked about if everybody could drive a small four-cylinder four-door. This vehicle will hold 8 people. You can tow 6,200 pounds. And if you need four-wheel drive, it's available as well. The amazing part is the EPA rates it at 22 highway and 20 city. That's better combined fuel economy than a Toyota Camry four-door, four-cylinder. So this is really a game changer. We also offer a Malibu hybrid. And then if you look over here, this fall, we're going to be offering a Silverado two-mode hybrid. Mm-hmm. Now, two-mode means that it's got a 6-liter V8 engine that can run in 4 or 8 cylinders with active fuel management. But there are 2 electric motors in the transmission. And there are microprocessors, so depending on what you're doing going down the road in terms of what you're going to need for torque and where your foot is in the gas pedal, even what the ambient temperature outside, it will determine should I be running on gas, electric, or both. Interestingly enough, if you're in reverse, you'll always be in the electric mode. So again, this is a game changer. Now, as we go forward to the future, a lot of people have seen the Chevrolet Volt concept car. The Chevrolet Volt, we plan to go into production in 2010, if everything moves along as we expect. We found out that over 70% of America only drives less than 40 miles a day. If you drive less than 40 miles a day, you'll never burn a drop of gasoline. What it is we've got 4 motors in the wheels. Now, let's assume that you're here in Dallas and you want to drive to, say, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Well, there's a 1-liter, 3-cylinder engine in the vehicle that will come on and recharge the battery. It also has regenerative braking as well. The point is that that engine will never actually drive the drive wheels. And that engine can run on diesel, it could run on E85, it could run on gasoline, it could even be a fuel cell vehicle. So we're working on all of that. And that will be a real game changer.
And that's just a few of the things that he's touched on. You can listen to the whole episode, and I'll put that in the show notes. And you'll be able to watch the video as well.
I really like what he had to say there. Because, yeah, it was talking about everyday cars.
Right.
But active fuel management is just at its beginnings.
Right. And you don't even notice it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I mean, it's almost like, waiting for a transmission to kick down a gear, except it's, well, instantaneous.
Right. And you're just getting better fuel economy. That's all it is.
It's power on tap. It's our Trailblazers, when we're cruising down the highway, it's using all 8 cylinders, and it does not need them.
And it is sucking.
It sucks. Yeah. You might as well just bring back Jurassic Park so we can shove dinosaurs into the engine bay, because that's what sucks down. Anyway, active fuel management, I'd like to see it on the Camaro.
I think definitely. And the Volt.
Oh man.
I cannot wait for the Volt to come out. That is definitely going to be my next car. I got to lease a new car in the next couple months. But in 2 years, I'm hoping when that lease is up, I'll be able to get into the Volt. And I am really looking forward to that. Sharp-looking car.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a solution for a daily driver, and everybody needs one. Yeah. I think it's awesome. So
talk about game changer.
He's right, though. I mean, Toyota might have a couple things going on and everything, but it's just not out there like this. This is in your face. We are serious about this, is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. And I think it's good. I think it's good because I think the technology is going to trickle into the performance car market, just like what Ed Pieper here in the Freep and Mark Phelan reported on.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, last week we mentioned that Scott had a message on the message board as well. And we wanted to touch base on it just a little bit here. He made a mention in the forums.
Absolutely. He references an incident that happened in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate.
Yeah, we were there, and I'll get to that in a second. The whole gist of it is that it's springtime again, and he says spring is here, and a lot of us are getting our Firebirds and Camaros out of storage, and we can't wait to drive them. And he says, you know, I'll paraphrase because it is quite long. Well, too long for the podcast. How's that? He says, most of us want to plant the pedal to the metal, and that's fine, provided it's done appropriately at the right place and the right time. But he's basically saying, hey, you know, you've heard it before, but let's say it again. It's street racing has gotten to be kind of a problem, mm-hmm. especially in the Fast and Furious generation, where it's fast and furious and not using common sense.
Right.
There's more cars out there than there used to be. It used to be fine to do because it was less chance of running into somebody else. But now that there's more cars and more people, you run into somebody else. And Scott says, just don't do it.
Don't do it and wear your seatbelt.
Yeah, absolutely. Wear your seatbelt. Yeah, we had that in Atlanta. It references Atlanta. God, that was 3 or 4 years. Oh, man, that was more than that. It was like six years ago.
Yeah. It was.
We lost two members because they were street racing in front of the
hotel.
Well, no, not because they were street racing, but as a result of their street racing.
Right.
I guess is a better way to put it. And you know, when we woke up the next morning and everybody was kind of quiet and there was no music in the parking lot at the car show and we found out what was going on, we went over and looked at the crash scene. And I'll never forget, man, there was a big splotch of blood right there in the grass from
the
night before.
Pretty spectacular.
And it was... there was a lot of blood, and there was a lot of bits and pieces of things that, fragments of a car that shouldn't be that small.
Right.
It's just not worth it anymore, you know? I mean, a stoplight blast is one thing, but once in a while when there's no other cars around, when it's, I guess you really can't justify it anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, common sense would be okay. It would make things a little easier. You know, you want to do 90, 100 miles an hour on the highway.
Right.
Don't do it during freaking rush hour, weaving in and out of traffic like those assholes and their freaking eclipses do on Gratiot.
Anything can happen.
And it does happen.
Exactly.
It happens a lot. It's just tragic, man. And we don't want to lose anybody. We're not preaching. We're not innocent either.
No.
But we just don't want to lose any of our friends. And,
right.
And we consider everybody that listens to our podcast and on our site our friends.
So I'll go ahead and I will post a link in the show notes to that as well.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say because I don't think I need to say anymore. All right. Well, if you got any thoughts on this, just give us a buzz, or anything else for that matter. Here's how.
To stay informed and in touch with the CamaroZ28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the CamaroZ28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
And that brings us to our contest.
This has turned out to be actually very fun for me.
Yeah.
Because
we've got a lot of cool prizes, too.
We got hooked up with a few companies, including Nitto Tire. We're giving away a complete set of Nitto Tires. Any size you want, any model you want, except for truck tires. They got to be passenger, car, or performance.
Drag radials?
Including drag radials. They can mix and match. They want two drag radials and two Invos for the back and two Invo and those new kick-ass high-performance street tires for the front. They can do it. Any size they want. They want 20 inches. If it's available, they can get it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's not the only thing we're giving away. We're giving away an LT1Y pipe, courtesy of Full Throttle Speed. And I've got here in my hand... these cool new window fix things from Auto Tricks, one of our new sponsors.
Yeah.
They threw a couple at us to give away in the contest. So
beautiful.
Chris, why don't you tell everybody how easy it is to enter this contest?
Oh, it's just so easy. All you need to do is head over to CamaroWiki.com.
CamaroWiki? What's that?
Well, CamaroWiki is a collaboration of information on the Camaro, and it's extremely easy to do. You just go in, you post an article, you can add to somebody else's article, whether it be... pop culture information about the Camaro, whether
it be
technical information on the Camaro. It's real easy. You just go in there, you edit it or add, and you will be entered automatically in the contest.
Picture this. If you had an encyclopedia on your shelf that said Camaro on it, and you opened it up and it was blank and you had a pen and you'd start writing, what would you write in it? You do this online.
Exactly.
And anybody can. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's a touch intimidating at first. But once you actually start, and I found this out just by creating the contest rules, that it's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's got its own code. It's kind of like V-Bulletin has its own code. It's not hard, man. And the next thing you know, you're thinking of something, and you're like, oh, I can add that to the wiki. And so you
exactly.
go back and you add it to it.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is at the end of this month, here in May, we're going to use the random page feature, and we're just going to pick a random page, and we're going to look at the who authored the random page picked, and making sure that they also contributed into in it in a what's the word I'm looking for?
Significant fashion,
you know, relevant information wise, and we'll give them a prize right there. We got a bunch of stuff too, and we'll let you read the list of prizes and of course the rules and all the ins and outs. Just go to the ChimeraWiki.com and enter the word NITTO, NITTO in the search box, and it'll take you to the article.
Nice. This is going to be fun.
It is fun. I mean, the problem is that I want to keep adding to it right now.
Right.
There's no bullshit. I really want to do this.
Yeah.
But I can't because I don't want to lessen the chances of other people. Because everybody out there, you listeners, you can enter as many times as you want. Every article you create and then contribute to is an entry. So the more you contribute, the better your odds of winning some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. This is our biggest, I want to say this is our biggest contest yet.
Cool. And there's a list of all the prizes in the wiki entry, correct?
That is correct, along with the simple rules. I also posted a helpful hints on how to contribute to the wiki in the site news and announcements form, the very first forum on the message board, to kind of get everybody an intro on how to do it. Because like I said, it's a little intimidating at first. And then after that, it's super easy.
Yeah.
So I'll leave you guys to that. ChimeraWiki.com.
Absolutely.
Put NITTO in the search box, hit the button, and go.
Start entering.
Start happy wikiing. What else? What else we got in the list here?
We had a nice little conversation last night we met up with Paul, One Fast Dog from
One
the message board.
One Fast Dog from the message board.
Ah, he is hilarious.
He's kind of like the automotive version of Ron White, if I think about it. Just a hell of a great guy.
He's got some good jokes.
Oh, he's got some good jokes and some cool stories to tell.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk automotive industry, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He really knows his stuff, and he's been in the industry for a while, and he's kind of got some insight. So we talked Camaro.
Yeah.
And we talked other things, and
it's fun.
Sipped a couple beers and chatted it up until, midnight?
Yeah.
We'd have him here, but oh, no, he's too good for us.
Yeah, what's he doing?
I want to say he's assisting General Motors. Or Chevrolet, more specifically, I believe, with the a ride and drive there at the GM Tech Center.
Oh, okay.
We really didn't talk too much about that.
No.
Cool guy, though.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll be at the Indy event later on this year.
Absolutely. September.
Throw a couple beers back again with him.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah. Hey, did you notice the June issue of Motor Trend is out this week?
I saw somebody post it.
Yeah. There's a picture of the 5th-gen Camaro in it. Number one car to have in 2009.
With those ugly headlights?
Apparently. But the picture that they show is one of the black mules.
It looks good, even if it's got the not real headlights. And why is it mentioned again in this article? Because it's the number one most desired car of next year?
The number one gotta have
there
car.
We go. Thank you.
Of 2009.
Well, shit. We
number
knew
one.
Number one.
Seeing more and more challengers on the road, though, around here.
I saw one this morning on the way to breakfast.
Yeah.
And it was nice.
Yeah.
It was big. I got to say, it's every bit as big as my Trailblazer, just not as tall.
Yeah.
It's a big car.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few on the road now around here.
All BS aside, it's a good-looking car.
It is.
It's a real good-looking car. I went behind it on purpose to see if it had a manufacturer plate or if they're actually starting to trickle out to some of the more...
affluent.
The more connected people that want one. But no, it had a manufacturer plate on
it. All the ones I've seen had manufacturer's plates on it.
Bright red. Looks good.
Yeah.
Looks good. Hmm. And that's good. Good competition.
Absolutely.
From what I hear, things are getting better and better on the engine side of the Camaro. Maybe we'll have some more news next week. We'll see.
Good deal. Is that it? I think that's it for the show this week.
I think so.
I think we covered everything.
Just about out of time. Is that going to do it?
Yeah, that's going to do it.
All right, Bucky.
Let's get out of here.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.